Our study tonight is out of Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 28, God's sovereignty over a changing government. This is passages about Daniel in the lion's den, and normally in Sunday school class, that's what the title of the lesson is, Daniel in the lion's den. But I'm putting this within the context of the book of Daniel, because there's a reason why this event happened in view of what God has been doing in Daniel's life. And it's much broader than just being thrown in the den of lions. It has to do with God's sovereignty. So as believers living in a spiritually decaying, godless culture, we need to live affirmatively in victory over sin. Daniel, as a young man, was taken captive by godless Babylonians, and he lived through Persia's conquest of Babylon, righteously and wisely serving the Lord in a godless culture as a great example for us. We view Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 28, on God's sovereignty over a changing government for our insight and edification. I'm going to go ahead and read the verse. We have 28 verses to read, and then we'll look at it. Daniel chapter 6, beginning of verse 1. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom, that would be of Medo-Persia, 120 satraps, actually, which should be over the entire kingdom. And over these, three presidents, of whom Daniel would be the first. And the satraps might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. That would be financial damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the satraps because an excellent spirit was found in him. And the king was thinking about setting him over the entire realm. That would be putting him over the other presidents. Well, then the presidents and the satraps sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these presidents and satraps assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the satraps, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it may not be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing had been signed, he went into his apartment, his windows being opened in his chamber toward the city of Jerusalem. And he kneeled upon his knees three times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So they came near, spoke to the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The king's thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be altered." Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, does not have regard for you, O king, nor the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he had heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he worked until the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, "O Daniel,
servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they've not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no harm. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of the lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery over them and broke all of their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all peoples, nations, and languages that dwelt on all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of thy kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Amazing. We learned in our last lesson in this series that Babylon fell to the Medes and the Persians, so that Darius the Mede came to rule Babylon. Darius possibly, we don't know this for sure, because we don't have any record of Darius in secular literature. This is the only place where he appears in this passage. But Darius possibly conquered the city of Babylon and was appointed by Cyrus to rule it, when Cyrus actually conquered the Babylonian Empire as a whole. Because Daniel chapter 9 verse 1 claims that Darius was made king over the Chaldeans. The word made is actually a paraphrase, because you have what they call as a denominative verb. It's a verb that is made from a noun. We do this. The Slates have a denominative verb. They take the word sugar and they make a verb, sugaring. And we know what that is, isn't it, right? It's staying up until 1 o'clock in the morning. All right. But anyway, this is a denominative verb, and it's a hafal perfect of Malak, which means king, and it's Hamlak. Okay, so he was made king, which means he didn't bring himself in. Someone else made him king. It looks like Cyrus made him king, and that's why he was maybe a local regent. Well, God sustained the 83-year-old Daniel. Daniel's 83 years of age at this point. He's not a teenager anymore. God sustained the 83-year-old Daniel through this transition from one empire to another, so that Darius planned to set him over his realm as the head president of three presidents who ruled 120 satraps. I know the King James calls them princes, but satraps is the technical word. Many of the satraps and presidents were Medes or Persians who did not want to be subject to a Hebrew. So they sought for a reason to discredit Daniel to Darius, that he might not place Daniel over them. However, they found Daniel to be faultless in his service record. But since he was a devout follower of his God and his God's word, the satraps and presidents chose to entrap him with regard to his beliefs. They knew that they could get Daniel this way because Daniel was really strongly committed to his Lord. So they appealed to Darius's ego, persuading him to make an irreversible decree that whoever petitioned any god or man but Darius for the next 30 days would be cast into the den of lions. Let me just make a comment on here. Remember, we had a vision in Daniel chapter 2 where Babylon was represented by the gold head, and then the Medo-Persians was represented by the silver body, and that's a deterioration from gold to silver. This is the deterioration of the government. Under Babylon, the king had absolute authority. If he wanted to change his mind, he could change his mind at a whim. But here you have a little bit of Republican-type government coming in where the king doesn't have complete control. And so if he makes a decree, it's locked in, and the others see to it. And that's what got Daniel into trouble here, is weakening of the government. So anyway, they found Daniel to be faultless, and since he was a devout follower of his God and his God's word, the satraps and presidents chose to entrap him with his word. They accordingly appealed to Darius's ego. They persuaded him to make an irreversible decree that whoever petitioned any god or man, but Darius, for the next 30 days would be cast into the den of lions. So, once the decree was made, knowing about it, Daniel still risked his life to keep giving thanks to the Lord through his windows that faced Jerusalem. Now, praying toward Jerusalem was suggested by Solomon at the dedication of the temple back in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 33. Solomon had said, when your people who sin against you are taken captive into a foreign land, if they pray towards this thy house and petition, they confess their sins, may you hear from heaven above and listen and restore them to the land. So this is what Daniel's doing. He's praying to God to that end, that God might deliver his people. So this involved biblical civil disobedience. It's very clear. Daniel, when he knew, as it says very clearly, when Daniel knew that this decree had been made, then he went and he, verse 10, when he knew the decree was signed, he went to his house, he went to his windows, his chamber, and he kneeled down in his three times a day, morning, noon, and night. And there's a biblical basis for biblical civil disobedience. It's better to obey God than man. Peter himself said this in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. It's interesting. This is a balance to Peter's command in 1 Peter about obeying every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Ultimately, the reason we're supposed to obey ordinances of man is not innately to obey every ordinance per se. The goal is to have a good testimony in our obedience to proper laws. But if those laws cause us to turn against God, no. That hurts our testimony. So we have to obey God over those laws. But the point is to do that which best supports our testimony. So thinking that they had entrapped Daniel to his harm and to their advancement, the satraps and presidents told Darius that Daniel had violated the decree. And as soon as he had heard it, Darius was upset for letting himself be manipulated into making such a decree that would entrap Daniel, that even he could not retract. The king worked long and hard to deliver Daniel, but to no avail. You can read between the lines here and see, as soon as they heard they captured Daniel, he was saying, oh, I was an idiot. Daniel's the last person in the world that I want to throw in the lion's den, because he liked Daniel. So he realized that he'd been entrapped by his ego and he'd been manipulated. Well, under the reminder of the satraps and presidents that Darius could not revoke his decree, Darius dutifully commanded to bring Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Darius spoke to Daniel, telling him that his God, whom he continually served, would deliver him. So after Daniel was cast into the den, a stone was laid over the den's opening and sealed with the king's signet ring and the signet of his officials to ensure that the king's original edict was followed. These dens were down below. They're about 15 feet down below the surface of the ground. And they cast Daniel in from the top. Remember, he's an 83-year-old man. It's amazing he didn't break a hip or a bone or something, especially with lions down there. If you can imagine, they would starve these lions so that they would be especially hungry so they could use these lion pits to destroy people. So Daniel probably went in, and God may have arranged for a lion to break his fall, so Daniel's landing on the lion. Now he's landing on a lion who's been half-starved. That ought to irritate the lion no end to turn around and chomp, chomp. That's it. You're done. But that didn't happen. Apparently, God broke the fall somehow so that Daniel was not harmed when he fell. We're going to find this out later, which is just amazing. So anyway, Daniel is completely helpless. An 83-year-old man, he's in a den full of lions that have been half-starved. So he's extremely vulnerable. Well, King Darius went to his palace. He passed the night fasting. He had no musical instruments being played before him. The king was not able to sleep. He worried over Daniel's plight all night long. Early in the next morning, Darius arose. He rushed to the den of lions. He called in an anguished voice, asking Daniel if the God whom he continually served had delivered him from the lions. Daniel replied that God had sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they had not hurt him, for he was innocent before God and innocent with regard to his service to Darius himself. Not only did he shut the lions' mouths, but he kept the lions from clawing Daniel to death. You know, he just left him alone. which is amazing, all night long, which would have been a miracle all night long because those lions were hungry. This response left Darius ecstatic. He ordered Daniel to be brought up out of the den, and when Daniel emerged, the king and his officials found no injury on him because he had trusted in his God. Remember, this is not a 17-year-old Daniel. This is an elderly man. So Darius then made another decree that could not be revoked, that of casting the men who had accused Daniel into the lion's den along with their families. We can't identify with him throwing their families in. In those days, if there was someone who had a tiff against someone else, they would take the whole family out. The reason for that is because if you didn't, then the children would come up and they would get you. So that's why they did what they did. And we're not sanctioning what he did in throwing the families in, but it's interesting that God did not deliver these people, but he let the lions break all of their bones before they even reached the bottom of the den. And this is undoubtedly to protect the reputation of Daniel in front of the entire nation. So Darius then decreed to all the people in his realm that they were to revere Daniel's God as the true eternal God who delivered his people, who worked miracles in heaven and earth, and who delivered Daniel. So, and this is the key point I want to break. Daniel then continued to prosper in the reign of Darius. Remember, this isn't Babylon anymore. This is Medo-Persia. And the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Cyrus probably was the emperor over the entire nation, where Darius was, he might have been Gubaru. We don't know. That might have been his real name. Gubaru died fairly shortly after taking the reign there in the city of Babylon under Cyrus. We don't know if Gubaru was Darius or not, or Darius might have been the name. Often these kings would have different names, and people would call them different names based upon different hats that they would wear before different people. For example, nobody at my house in 490 County Road calls me Pastor Shell. No one. It's either Honey or Dad or Grandpa, okay? Or Don, if someone comes over. But Pastor Shell is the name that's reserved for Nepog Church. It's just wait because I wear different hats there in 490 County Road and here. These kings did the same thing. They had different hats in different areas. So Darius might have been Gubaru. We don't know. Well, Daniel continued to prosper in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Big, big lesson here. Though facing spiteful political intrigue that came with the great change in empires from Babylon to Persia, Daniel was protected, he was honored, and he prospered by God for being faithful to the Lord and obeying his word. Big change in government. All of a sudden, you've got 120 satraps who are mad at you. You got two presidents that are mad at you. Here you are, you haven't done anything wrong. You're minding your own business. You're 83 years of age. Trouble. Well, thrown into the lion's den, God preserved him. So even amid threatening changes in the government, how applicable is that today? Even amid threatening changes in the government, may we faithfully heed God's word for blessing. You know, the God who was around in Daniel's day as he switched from Babylon over to Medo-Persia is the same God who's around today. And He's not a stranger to change. He's been through it. He's been through it, and he's taken his people through it generation after generation after generation. So he's had a lot of experience. And what he wants us to do is what Daniel did, and that is to remain faithful, to the Lord no matter what. Daniel consistently, he didn't stop his prayer life. He didn't stop his worship of the Lord. The same prayer life and worship that he had probably under Babylon, he carried with him over into Medo-Persia. He didn't care what decree was on. The Lord was his life. The Lord had saved him before and preserved him. God could help him again. And that's what he did. So may we do the same thing.